Being that I non-committally committed myself to talk about the Haftorah aside from the Parsha, I figured that if I do it this week and I get it out of the way, then, I don't have to do any more and then I'm covered. Yes, those things happen sometimes. Okay. In the beginning of the parasha, it's not the introduction to Avram, because Avram was already introduced at the end of last week's parasha. But even that introduction didn't give us all that much information as far as who Avraham is, why Avraham is chosen, what Avraham's accomplishments were till this point. As a matter of fact, if you compare or contrast the beginning of Parshat Noach and the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, you'll see that there's a really stark distinction between the two, whereby Noach, it talks about his chosenness. Eilu told that Noach ish tzaddik, we have three different phrases that speak about Noah's greatness. That Noah is a tzaddik, he's perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Over here, when we look at Avraham, we don't find any of that information. We don't find any reason to justify Avraham's chosenness. What we read is, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, in the first source, Lech lecha mi'artzecha mi'ladetecha mi'beit avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. God just tells him, pick up and go from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's home, to the land which I will show you. And over here, by the way, the blessings that he receives is far more than Noah receives initially and far more than Noah receives after the fact. That Avraham will become this source of blessing. Avram 75 years old. So we sort of suspect that there aren't things that happened over those 75 years, but that we're not told about. We know, again, let's be honest, we know at this point from the text virtually nothing about who Avram is and what he's done and why he's chosen, and moreover, why he has received all of these blessings. If you go through the whole Haftorah, there's only one verse which I assume is the reason why it was chosen, and that's in source number 2, which says, "V'ata Yisrael Avdi Yaakov Asher Besarticha," and he says, "Regarding Israel, my servant Jacob, who I have chosen." So therefore, what the verse is dealing with is not Avraham and not Yaakov. It's dealing with the chosenness of Am Yisrael. And it wants to tell us why Am Yisrael is chosen. So it tells us, at the end of the verse, Zera Avraham Ohavi. Because you are the descendants of Avraham, the one that loved me. So here we have a phrase which talks about the chosenness of Am Yisrael, which perhaps, maybe I'm wrong, but perhaps it can give us also an indication about the chosenness of Avraham himself.
If there were no Nikudot, would you think to be a Sarah Avraham Ahuvi?
Well, that's why I read it with Nikudot.
You got it with them.
I know, but this one's with Nikudot. So, correct. So you and them want to say the one who I love.
Right.
Right. But that's not, I know. That's
happy.
Right. So let's, maybe next year we'll do a share on alternative universes with different possibilities of what it says. What?
There's no dictate.
The world without dictate. But meanwhile, let's try to stay with what it does say. And by the way, some of the commentaries do talk about that. They talk about, you know, what it says and what it could have said, what it should have said. So you're not far off on that. But nonetheless, over here it does say, Avraham, the one who loved me, which means the chosenness of Am Yisrael is a result of Avraham's love of God. So I have a very simple question that will hopefully consume us for the next 56 minutes, and that is, what is it about Avraham where this love of God manifests itself? Where exactly do we find this? The Midrash Haggadah, the third source, tells us, "Va'avato b'zchut Avraham ohavi she'esrim dor hayu sonim oti v'ani otam u'kishemot Avraham nase ohavi." It says that Avraham is being described as this person who loves God. This Midrash tells us, in contrast to all of the people who've lived till this point, and by the way, God tells us it was reciprocal, that they hated me, I hated them, and Avraham is the one, in a sense, who comes up and then saves the world. Rashi explains, in verse 4, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Rashi in Yeshayahu, Zera Avraham Ohavi, Shelohi Kirani Mitoch Tokacha V'Limud Avotav, Ela Mitoch Ahava. That Avraham doesn't find me based upon being taught, based upon Tokacha, based upon rebuke, but rather Avraham finds me through love. Which means Rashi over here is focusing on, again, the Rashi is fascinating, because what is Rashi telling us? That this idea of Avraham being a person who loves God, which episode of Avraham's life does this reflect? So he's saying it goes all the way back to the beginning and Avraham's discovery. Avraham's finding God. By the way, he doesn't give us any of the details of how that exactly works. He also doesn't tell us what I think is a very crucial question, and that is, what was the nature of Avraham? Was Avraham essentially a man who himself was full of love and then finds God full of love? Or is Avraham essentially a man who is not necessarily full of love, but is only when he finds God and he comes to the conclusion that God created the universe, he comes to the conclusion that the act of creation is one of chesed, so therefore he reinvents himself as a person of chesed. Which means, and by the way, I don't know how to answer this question. I just want to confuse you as well. But I think it's a very important question, which means we know that Avraham is identified with a person or the personality of chesed. He's identified not only with the idea of chesed, even he's considered to be a manifestation of something which is godly, of God's chesed. One of God's attributes is chesed. Avraham becomes identified with this. Look at source 5. Look at the Shlach HaKadosh. U'migad ha-chesed hu-sod ha-ava, k'mo shi-tver v'kaman, me'achu shezacha av mevinu midat ha-chesed, nichnas v'ahava, asher al-zeh ne'emar Avraham ohavi. So, Shlach HaKadosh, Rabbi Yeshayahu Horovitz, he comes over here and he says, and he just follows this logical path that we saw from Rashi. Rashi is explaining the idea of Avraham Ohavi. Avraham Ohavi, we see, is this idea of Ahava. We see that Rashi tells us that Avraham discovers God through Ahava. And he goes one step further and says, no, this is really the manifestation of Chesed. Even we'll see, we'll get to it, even source that said, all the years that Avraham was on this earth, God was able to rest in terms of chesed, because Avraham was carrying the chesed. I don't think I'll find that quickly. Damn, if you didn't like what I said. As far as the question of his identity. What's the answer? What's the answer? Is that the answer to the question?
Well, it proves that Avraham's nature was chesed, and therefore his new time has to be someone that would go against his nature. See, if he'd be doing wrong, he'd be doing wrong because it was nature, or because it was seeking Hashem. The minute that he went against his own nature, and what Hashem said, then after that, then Hashem said, Atayadati.
Well, it could be more complicated. It could be that it could be more complicated. It could be that his nature wasn't chesed, and he then figures out that God is a God of chesed. So he creates himself as chesed, and then the test is in order to test his own conclusions in terms of this. It could still go back one step further.
Maybe in the previous order or something.
Which previous order?
Noah.
Correct. Noah's world does not seem to be one of a very much chesed. So far, what do we have? The identification of Avraham as the lover of God explains the background information that we felt was missing, and that is Avraham's discovery of God. So therefore, when it says in the Haftorah, Avraham, the one who loved me, that explains the whole background to it. That's how Avraham was chosen, because of his love of God. And we also realize then that this somehow interacts with the idea of chesed. But again, this goes back to the discovery. The Ramban gives us a very different understanding of this, and he says this in more than one place, and you'll see in a sense that this does also go back to the verse that we just now read. The Ramban says, he's talking about a verse that you should recognize someplace in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Verse 6. Lo avai ulshamrei mitzvotai, hanir b'mashma'ut ha-katuv. It seems that what this means, shizu haftacha b'inyan ha-mitzvot ha-eilu asher hiskir, yomar ki hu oseh b'hem chesed la'alafim lo'ohavav. So over here, when it says that God will perform chesed for thousands of generations for those who he loves, so notice the word ohavav over here. Him hamosrin nafsham alav. But how do you understand what it means to love God? So the Ramban tells us that loving God is the person who's prepared to be mosrin nefesh for God. A person who's willing to die because of his beliefs. A person who accepts God and his godliness, exclusively, and he rejects all nechar, all other foreign gods, the loya of du otam im sakanat nafsham, anybody who's willing to endanger themselves and reject all of the gods, that's called someone who loves God. This is the love of God that we are required to fulfill. That the love of God comes to the point of mesirut nefesh. That a person should love God to the point that they're prepared to give up their life. And therefore a person won't exchange God for some other deity. And person also won't include any other deity. V'kach ne'amar, v'Avraham, Zera Avraham Ohavai, Shinatan Nafsho, Shelo Ya'avod V'Zara Ba'ur Kasdim. So the Ramban, in his commentary to the Aseret Nidrot, the rejection of other gods, he focuses on the obligation for a person to give up their life even because of their love of God, and therefore he identifies this directly with a story which we don't find in the Chumash, a story nonetheless which has entered into our consciousness as being part of the biblical history, and that is when Avraham was thrown into the furnace because of his belief in one God. So he said, that is the manifestation of the Ahava, which we, again, Rashi saw the Ahava connected to the discovery of God. The Ramban sees the Ahava in connection with the willingness, the preparedness to give up one's life in terms of God. There is a very interesting thing he says at the end in the Ramban. I mean, there's a lot in the middle interesting as well, but we're skipping it. But the very end he writes, "Avayesh v'zesod amar she'Avraham asar nafsho ba'ahava ki inyan shekatuv chesed la'Avraham v'shar nivim b'gvura v'hevin zeh." Because that Avraham was willing to give up his life through love, while other Nevi'im, it was through Vora, which is Din, which is justice, because it's the right thing to do. Which means, what motivates us? To do something because it's the right thing to do, or to do something motivated by love? Did that sound like they were very different, or did that sound like they were the same? What's the difference?
Because using your child, you'll give up your life to save your child, but you love the child. And if there is a rule that you have to eat or drink or you have to bow down to another god, you're not doing it out of love, you're doing it because you're afraid the law.
No, you're allowed to eat trash. Eat trash. Okay. You can even enjoy it if you want. But correct. So your point is that you can do something out of love, or you can do something because it's the right thing to do. So he implies that all the other Levim are on the level that they do the thing that they're told to do because it's the right thing to do. Well, Avraham is motivated by love, and Avraham does things because of the love of God. Now, if this distinction is clear to you,
are you comparing that to Moshe?
I don't know, which one does Moshe sound like to you? Moshe more of doing the right thing because it's the right thing, or out of love? Moshe sounds more like he does it because it's the right thing. Okay, now again, if this distinction is clear to you, it's not clear to me. I'm not so sure it's clear to the Rambam either, but before I get to that Rambam, I just want to show you that in source number 7, the Ramban almost repeats himself. Here he's talking about why the Jewish people are chosen. From where it's underlined there. Vayivchar bachem, mikol ha'amim, shetio atem skulav v'nachalalo. That you were chosen as the chosen people, which means, people always ask, they don't always ask. Sometimes people ask or are troubled, what does it mean that we're the chosen people, and what is it that makes us chosen? What is it that makes us different? What makes us special? So the Ramban gives a very, perhaps disturbing answer. He writes, "Ki abechira b'kol makom v'iram min acharim v'amar hatam." He goes, because when he says you're chosen, means you're chosen compared to others. Right? And maybe some people would like to say God doesn't play favorites, like parents claim they don't have a favorite child. But he says, no, that over here they're chosen compared to others. Ki me'avat Hashem etchem b'char b'chem. Because God loved you, He chose you. Shera'a etchem ru'uyim lehit ahe v'fanav nitchalim la'va yoter mikol amim v'lo yiskir b'ze tam min abafira ki enitchar la'ohe v'yadu l'shbol et ohavo b'chol haba alav imenu v'yisro'u im l'kach mikol am. What he said over here is that the Jews have a higher degree and a higher ability to suffer for their love, to suffer for their belief, which means when the tough gets going, they're still more than other nations, they are prepared to stay with it. Which means this is the same idea that the Ramban said earlier about Avraham. And again, this becomes very interesting because he says, Avraham is called the one who loves God because he was prepared to die, to go into the furnace, and that's why he is chosen. Am Yisrael are chosen according to the Ramban because they are willing, again, when things will get tough throughout the ages, they are the ones who will hold on to the religion rather than just say, listen, this was too tough and we're giving up, and to the point of being willing to die for it and so forth. That's the Ramban's explanation for the Firah, for the chosen people, because of the ability, and he sees this as the indication of love. And if you go back to the verse that we started with, the verse in the Navi, Yishayahu, what does it say? Why are you chosen? Because Avraham loved me. So therefore the chosen Sabam Israel comes because Avraham loved me. The Ramban then, if you were sitting here and you asked him, so explain the verse, what would the Ramban certainly say? That Avraham Avinu's love manifests itself in his willingness to go into the furnace, and this creates an identity within the Jewish people throughout the generations who are willing to do the same kind of thing, and therefore the Jewish people are chosen and follows Avraham's chosenness, and all of this becomes a manifestation of love of God. That's the Ramban's approach here.
My question is, when Avraham went to fight for Lot, did he do it out of Ahava, or did he do it out of righteousness?
Well, that's a real good question. When Avraham goes to fight with the four kings against the five kings, and Avraham joins in, when Avraham sends away Yishmael, is that chesed or is that din? When Avraham does the Akedah, is that chesed or din? When Avraham sends Lot away from him, is that chesed or the din? Which means, you want, we can start going through all the episodes of Avraham's life and start asking the same questions. One second. And to understand, okay, we like to say, oh, Avraham's full of chesed. That's great. So you start looking at the various episodes of his life and the Akedah, as you said before. So, which is the Akedah the exception? Or you can come back and tell me, listen, I'm not being fair right now, because, again, Avraham's default, right, this is what you would say now, based on what you said before, that Avraham's default was one of chesed, and God keeps on testing him in terms of the chesed. Okay, leave your home, leave this, do this, do this. And all of these things and all of his tests are ultimately against this concept of chesed. But I said all this only works if we assume that Avram's default is chesed, which is of course something that we don't necessarily see, other than the verse coming at us in Yeshayah. Till this point.
Something interesting to say that what the Rambam said at the beginning, that the true measure of your love for God is your willingness to die. I mean, are there a lot of suicide bombers that are very happy to hear that?
No, no, they're not suicide bombers. They're suicide murderers, right? They're murderers. Homicide, right? I was thinking about that on the way here because I knew you were going to ask that. I think the difference is that you have certain people whose hatred for us is so profound that they're willing to kill themselves in order to take us down with them. That's like a mullet jumping into the boiling furnace, right? Because they're willing to kill themselves to hurt others. This is somebody, and the part I skipped in the Ramban before was it was the major saying, why are you taking out to be killed? It says, because I did grit on my son. Why are you taking out to be killed? Because I ate matzah. Why are you taking out to be killed? Because I did this. Which means it's the Jews' willingness to die because of the ideal rather than the willingness to kill themselves just because they hate someone else so much. Which means to call the suicide bomber who's killing a bunch of innocent people an act of love of God, it's probably not a love of God. I mean, they're thinking about getting to, I mean, they're thinking about all the Mahaba and all of the, you know, why they want to be stuck with 72 virgins and so on. But they're thinking about their own, you know, what they're getting out of this. This is not what you would call lavodat Hashem lo amanat l'kabel pras. I understand, and I agree with you that there is a very subtle point here. Once you talk about willingness to die, but that's not what he's saying exclusively. He's not saying it's that somebody who's willing to die for an idea. That's not what he said. It's that the love of God is that they're willing to suffer for it. They're willing to keep it, and they will not let it go despite the very suffering that takes place. So I do see a distinction. Whether you want to say it's dangerous, it's dangerous.
Yeah. I don't feel that it fits very well. They're talking about Abraham, the beginning of a new era.
Yeah.
Love of God. God chooses the people. We're going to make an Adam. It's going to be, you know, whatever. And then right away, how is it proven that, okay, because he wants to kill himself. Let's finish it off.
Right, right. There's something which is missing here. Rabbeinu Bachaye, who, by the way, very often will explain the Ramban, right, if you get stuck in the Ramban, the first place to go would be Rabbeinu Bachaye. Second place to go would be in the Rakanati. He explains all the Kabbalistic things, except for the thing I just now showed you. We had that line about the difference of the Navi, the Chesed versus... He says, V'daki nisayon akhida hayala farsein ba'amim godo chiyub ha'ir'a ba'ava v'shem itvarach ki ava agim ha'chalakim ha'echad mish ohed et ha'melech mitoch ahavato yisapir b'shvachav v'yifarsein ma'alotav tamir kol yom yadiyo l'kol et v'urtav. There's different levels of love. The first level of love is you love someone and you can't hold yourself back and tell anyone about them. Hashini nisha ohev oto yotermino rishon yisav per v'shvachav yitim kol mimono v'shvilo. I think what he's getting at here, b'chol levavcha b'chol ma'odecha. Second one is that you'll give everything that you have because of this love. Hashlishi nisha ohev oto yoter mishneim yisav per v'shvachav yitim kol mimono v'shvilo v'yimsor atzmo l'mita, even to the point of death. He goes, so therefore there are gradations, there are levels of love. From talking about somebody to giving, you know, putting your money where your mouth is to finally even being prepared to die for it. He then goes further towards the bottom here. Vashlishi masar atzmo l'mita b'shvil avat Hashem kishehu shlach l'kibshana eshach kishat Hashem yitbarach, which means therefore he understands, as we've seen till now, that Avraham being thrown into the furnace is a manifestation of his love of God. Ulfisha sigma b'gat avava avar al-gimel ha-chalakim karu Hashem yitbarach Avraham ohavi. Because he's willing, Avraham went through all these three levels, which we're going to come back to because we skipped two. That's why he's called the one who loves me. Aval b'inyan zeh shel akidah, here Avraham tokef avato b'shem yitzrach, sheita chazaka v'aza in maharich otan al shosha chalakim ha-nizkarim, ve'in l'vuta l'mishim osar atzmo l'mita b'shvil avato o b'shvil adonav. Okay, what he's going to say is that, but getting to the point of the akidah, that was the highest level of love possibly imaginable. Now, that's and he'll try to convince you of this as he goes on, because he'll explain how much Avraham loves his son, and how much Avraham prayed for the son, and how Avraham, the last thing in the world that he would have wanted to do by himself would have been to sacrifice the son, and therefore the greatest manifestation of love of God is the Akedah. Now there's only one problem with this. What's that? What? It's not the only problem. What is? Look at verse 28. What does the angel say after the Akedah? V'yikra alav malach Hashem ben Hashemayim v'yom Avraham Avram Yemilin v'yom al tishlach etcha el anar v'al ta'as lo mehuma ki ata yadati ki yirei elukim ata. Because he said, what should have been said if the Rebbe was right? Now I know that you're full of Ahavat Hashem, but what does he say instead? You're full of Yirat Hashem. Which means, the Chumash never tells us that Avraham is full of Ahavat Hashem. What does the Chumash tell us? That he has Yirat Hashem. So again, it's a whole wonderful theory, but it just doesn't seem to be there in the Pesukim. And this is something which has to be, obviously has to be dealt with.
If the throwing in the furnace was such a crucial thing that Abraham did,
that's an excellent question. Okay, let's go on. You know I'm going to answer you. You know this, right? Buy my book.
Preacher book. Which one?
I have a whole chapter. I have a whole chapter on it. Jane, believe me, next week I'll go to the publisher and we'll republish the book. Okay? She's making fun of me. The one on the Chumash. Okay, next week. I have a whole chapter on it. Go on, you take it to the library. Borrow it from somebody who has it.
I have the phone, but I don't have to read it.
Okay.
I have two viewers. I don't have to tell anybody.
Well, read them. Okay.
I just finished
with
Rosh Hashanah
and Yom Kippur. You make sure. I'm saying. Let's go back to the first source. And we stopped after Pasuk Dalet. Let's read Pasuk Hey now. Yikach Avraham et Sarai Ishto. Here's where Avraham does what God tells him to do. Yikach Avraham et Sarai Ishto. Avraham takes his wife Sarai. Ve'elot ben achiv et kol rechusham asher rachashu. And when he goes, he takes the nefesh asher asu. Now what does this mean, a nefesh asher asu? There are three possibilities what this means. What's the first possibility? No, it's the second possibility. What's the first? Nefesh asher asu. It's a very strange term. Nefesh asher asu.
Family that he adopted.
One possibility is that it's acquisitions, that he bought slaves. The second possibility, right? So if you look at even at Rashi, Rashi will play with this as the possibility of being shot. Nefesh Yisher Asu. The second possibility is, as all of you wanted to insist, all the people, the students, all the people that he impacted. There is, of course, a Kabbalistic interpretation. These are all the people that he created for the safety of Seer. We won't talk about that today. Look at source 9. What? I said that Kabbalistically he created people for the safety of Seer. Source number 9. After Nefesh HaShorasu, the Chizkuni writes, Amrinin B'Shma'ata, it's taught in the teaching, Yitana Dvei Eliyahu, Kan Matchil Matan Torah, the Hatargum Ra'aya. This is the beginning of Matan Torah. Now, there's a teaching in the Gemara that there were 2,000 years. You look at source 13. Tani Dvei Eliyahu, Sheshet Alafim Havei Alma. The world will last for 6,000 years. Shnei Alafim Tohu. For the first 2,000 years, there will be emptiness. Shnei Alafim Torah, 2,000 years of Torah. Shnei Alafim Yimot Mashiach, in 2,000 years, where Mashiach could possibly come. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. In Gemara in Avodah Zarah, source 14, Shnei Alafim Torah, Me'imat, when does it begin? Imimri Matan Torah. If you'll say it started with Matan Torah, so then you have a problem. Why, what year was Matan Torah? Source 14, what? So let's go back to the beginning in order to be able to understand all of this. What year was Abraham born? 1948. From creation. You love that? What's your favorite thing? Okay, Abraham is born from creation in 1948. Yes. Now you remember that? I'm saying, that's a year. What year then was Yusuf born? How old is Avram? He's 100. So Avram, so Yitzchak Ben is 2048. When does Yitzchak Mitzrayim take place? 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak. So Yitzchak Mitzrayim is 2448. So that's what Father Zikamara says, hold it. 2,000 years of Tohu, Matan Torah is then, so then we're missing a whole bunch of years. Then Tohu lasts a little too long, Matan Torah is a little too late. Rather, it says, when is Matan Torah? When people begin to study Torah in whatever form that means. So, at which point is Avraham thrown into the furnace? How old is he when he's thrown into the furnace? How old? 48. He's thrown into the furnace. At which point does Avraham start to teach people? When he's 52. What year is that? What?
2000.
That's 2000. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. That 2,000 years of Tohu Vavohu, the year 2000, that's when Matan Torah, that's when Avraham starts to teach people Torah. Of course, Torah in this context doesn't necessarily mean that he learned the Gemara Baba Kama. What it means more likely is that he taught them about God, he taught them about monotheism, and he taught them about Chesed. So let's read the Gemara again in Source 14. Shnei Elefim Torah Me'inat Inem Amimatan Torah Ad Hashta Leka Kulei Hai Defimayat Bahu Tre Alfei Prat Dehai Alpha Udehavi Ela Mide'et HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Koran Gmiri De'Avram Bahishata Bar Tamishin B'Tarte Hava. In English, that is, that when does Matan Torah begin? Then Matan Torah is also a process. Matan Torah begins with that verse, the Etanefesh Yishasah B'Choran. How old is Avram when he starts teaching? The Gemara over here says 52. Why does the Gemara say 52? So now you all know the answer, because that would have been the year 2000. So in the year 2000, Avram starts to teach. How old is Avram when he comes into Eretz Israel? 75. When he starts along the way. Which means that from the age of 52 till 75, Avraham is doing his outreach work, which according, let's go back again. We had seen before that there are three levels of Ahavat Hashem. Remember Rabbeinu B'chai told us there are three levels? Yes, I know. Look at the Rambam in Source 17. This is the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. The third mitzvah of the 613, the third positive mitzvah is Mitzvah Gimel, Hi Shetzivanu Lahavo Yit'aleh. That we, Source 17, that we are prepared to, we are commanded to love the exalted God. That is one of the 613 commandments. How do you know that? It says, there's a mitzvah to love God. And then he starts to go into all kinds of definitions. What does it mean to love God? What you need to do to love God? And then in the second half, which you have to turn the page, the Rambam writes, where it's underlined, Bikfar Amru, and there are early rabbinic sources that tell us, Shemitzvat zu kolelet gamkin, shenidrash nikra ha'anashin kulam, la'avototo yitvarach, that we are obligated as part of the mitzvah. Anybody ever hear this thing, the Jews don't proselytize? That you get a little uncomfortable with people that go and do outreach work and so on. The Rambam says that this is part of the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, that if you love God, then you will tell other people about God. Again, v'nikra anashim kulam, which is interesting, didn't sound to say Jews, la'avato yitbarach, ulaminbo, you cause other people to believe in God. Zekish tahebadam, when you love a person, tasim lukha alav, vitishabchayu, but if you learn to love a person, you're going to say good things about them, and you're going to want other people, vitification anashim lahovoto. Zeh altsad hamaskil, kin kishav hakel ba'emet, if you really love God, as much as you can understand of God's existence. You will do all you can to convince those who don't believe in the truth. I share your data which you've been able to understand. And what is it in Sifri? Vahavta et Hashem. Ahavato alabriyot. Ke Avraham avicha shenemar bet nefesh asher asu b'charan. Let's Lomar, Kimosha Avram Ba'avorshia Oheva Hashem, just like Avram who loved God, Kimosha Ida Katuv, as the Navi tells us, Avram Ha'avi, Shriyatam came the Godo Hasagato, the Rasha Anashin Elumuna, Nichozak Avato, Kinata Ahubato, Achitadrosh Anashin Allah. That the Rambam here is telling us that this verse, and again, he's quoting the Sifri on this, that this verse, Avram, the one that loved me, is talking about also something that happens prior to Lech Lecha, but he's not talking about jumping into the furnace. I'm not saying he would argue with that, but he's saying that's not the main point. The main point of Avraham's love of God was his willingness, his preparedness, and his desire to teach about God to all the people that he could. That is what it means by Avram, the one that loved me. So it says again that therefore that is the default Avraham who we meet by the very beginning of Lech Lecha, and that's indicated by that verse that says "Vanefesh Yisrael Subacharam." The people that they impacted, it means that there was something that was done. Why was something done? Out of the Ahava that they had. Yes.
Where did the story about the Kishan Ha'esh originate? I don't get that, but where did they find it?
There's two possibilities. One is they made it up, and the other is that they had an oral tradition. The image of the Kishan, by the way, is very much part of the scene at the end of last week's parsha when they're building the tower. Because that's where there is a Kishan. They're making the bricks. So therefore, they're making the bricks and they're challenging God. Again, according to tradition, Avram's 48 at that point, and Avram argues with them. And at that point, he tries to teach about one God. And it's interesting, because do they reject God? Or are they mad at God? Or they think that God can be defeated? Do they have a very strange concept of God? But Avram, at that point, becomes vocal. But it takes him a number of more years to actually have followers. So it's interesting, because the Rambam comes in another place and talks about love of God, and this goes back to what I said before about the difference between doing something which is right versus doing something which is true. Look at source 12.
Wait, can I say that Noach was there?
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Noach, like, right over his mouth.
Didn't he say, well, you know, give the guy a break? I mean, I
you hate my answer.
Okay.
Read my book.
No, but
you want to talk about that in China? Come on. Read the book. Just because of you, I'm going to be printed. Okay. The Rambam in source number 12 writes, Ha'ogin me'ava, okay, this is in the 10th chapter of Hilchot Tshuva. What's interesting about this chapter, it says nothing about Tshuva. Right? Through the first 9 chapters, there were all kinds of things, including kapara, korbanot, Tshuva. Gets the 10th chapter, the Rambam leaves Tshuva out of it, and now he gets to what I would call perfected service of God. The perfect servant of God, which means the purpose of Tshuva is to get back to this point of being, or to achieve this point of serving God in a perfect way. So the Rambam writes, Ha'oved Yahava, what is the highest level? Somebody who serves God out of Ahava. Which means the Rambam says that the highest level of serving God is not for any other benefit that will take place, but But he's doing truth because it's truth. Which, by the way, not, that simply combined what we saw before. Either you do it out of love of God or because it's true. The Rambam says the highest level of love of God is through because it's true. The Sofot of Alavod Glala. Again, as a side point, you will actually get reward for it. Zui Malag Dolama. Oh, this is an incredibly high level. Ve'im Kol Chacham Zochela. The Rambam says not even all scholars will be able to get to this level. Ve'hi Ma'alat Avram Avinu Shekor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavo. And that is the level of Avram, which means Avram does the right thing because it's the right thing. Which means, according to Rambam, the highest level of service of God is doing the truth because it's truth. That's his definition of Ahavat Hashem. Which is interesting, because I think you would have suspected that Ahava is something which is very emotional. And he doesn't describe something very emotional right here. It's doing truth because it's truth. Nonetheless, in the next paragraph, the Rambam says, okay, it's not here, you don't have it. In the next paragraph, the Rambam writes, okay, what does this mean to serve God out of total love? He writes, it means to be lovesick and to be totally consumed with your love. And every thought and everything that you do, it's as if that there's somebody who's in love with someone else, and when they travel away from them, all of their thoughts, they think about the other person. Every act they do, they think about the other person. And all that they want to do is to make the other person happy. So it's interesting. At that point, the Rambam does put an emotional side to it, but he still doesn't move from that definition. The definition is to do truth because it's truth. That is what love of God is.
It doesn't necessarily mean love. Truth can be very difficult and very negative.
So how do we reconcile those two paragraphs? Because on the one hand, he talks about being lovesick. This all-consuming motivation, and right before that he says, but to do the truth because it's truth. So one sounded very intellectual, the other sounds very emotional. Nonetheless, the Rambam is putting them together, one paragraph after the other. So that means understood. See, it's interesting, in source 11, the Netziv, in Enek Davar, he sees this in the point of Avraham's behavior. Just to get the context. After the fight of the four kings and the five kings, so then they say, okay, Avram, you know, if you want to take some of the spoils and so on, what does Avram say? I don't want anything. So therefore, he understands that Avram is serving God, Roma not l'kabel pras. He doesn't want to get any reward out of it. Let's look inside. By that episode, here Avram she'oved ni'ava, and not because of any payment. He goes, I don't want any reward from God. I don't want to be paid anything from God. I simply do truth because it's truth. So apparently, the Netziv over here, he sees, again, what's going on in the Netziv's mind? He knows this Rambam, and he knows that Avram is called Avram Ohavi. So he knows that Avram is full of love. He knows the definition of love is doing the truth because it's truth and not wanting any payment for it. So therefore he takes this and reads it into this episode when Avram turns down payment. Of course, we all recognize there may be other reasons he turns down payment. Would you want your payments to be from the King of Stone? Would you want, is that the money that you want to make? So again, it's interesting the way that the Netziv is thinking.
But it's a lot more challenging than jumping in and dying for it.
Which one is challenging? And work yet, it's a challenge for you,
And that is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, and that is an always easy.
Mm-hmm.
In order to serve Hashem, because
it's
Emet, doesn't necessarily mean it's easy.
Right.
But
we'll come back, because obviously when we get back to the
Akedah,
we're going to have some difficulty
with all these things. Don't they go back to the original state of things, where everything was connected? It's pretty sure it's free. The whole process of doing something to get something different, everything is all smart. So,
I just didn't understand the connection.
In fact, I don't have a problem with the love and the emet, because if you're constantly connected, what does love mean? It means you're totally connected, you're obsessed, but you're totally connected with the other person. Mm-hmm. And so he acts in a way that keeps him connected, mm-hmm. in the way of emet. It reminds me of the before
Bereshit. So you're saying in the existence of total connectedness, where you see the pre and the, where there's no separation.
There's no separation, where you're not trying to do things in order to get something else.
Right.
You're acting in a consistent, you're acting in a snob. The way you act is the reward.
There's a guy in New York who's been listening to me sharing for years. He was trying to convince me to talk this week about Magen Avraham. Because he's convinced that Magen really means Megan, Megan Eden. And I'm not convinced.
But, so, you've been encouraging him.
I have been encouraging him. I have been encouraging him. But he would be very happy with what he said. Yeah.
I have to just a little off topic. If you're lovesick, generally, let's say, there's only room for one, right? So if you're supposed to be lovesick for God, then where does a mate fit in terms of what it means to be a good Jew? And the Akiva maybe is an example. Like, in a way, aren't you being tested? Who do you love more? Is it your love for your loved one or your love for me?
Right.
And it's just now, like, it's the highest form of love to be, when you made that description of you're traveling and and you can't think of anything else, we associate that with a person, but to have that kind of all-consuming love of God, which I know people that have that, but it doesn't mean
you
know, much. I do, but it doesn't leave a lot of, it leaves it a little unclear where the loved ones fit in the hierarchy.
So first of all, when the Rambam describes that type of love, he uses a mate or a spouse as a frame of reference. So on one level, I would say that according to the Rambam, right, and he says it, and that's what Shir HaShirim is about. That's that next line. That's the conclusion of the next paragraph. That's what all Shir HaShirim is about. But he uses that as a frame of reference. So therefore, at least on the most basic level, the Rambam is telling us a person who has never felt love can't love God either. That means part of having a mate is, or a spouse, or someone that you love, helps the person develop this capacity of love, and at that point, they're able to love God so much more. On a deeper level, if a person really does love God, then a person will be able to see godliness within other things as well. And over here the Gemara insists that when you do have a couple, then Shechina b'neihem, which means that there is godliness within the relationship as well. And therefore that's the type of relationship. So I don't think that the Rambam over here is eventually trying to get to a point of living a life where one is, you know, completely secluded and so on and only is involved in God, but rather quite the opposite. I think the question is interesting, which, how do you take ahava and then start applying it in terms of a world outlook? Which means, do I just take my love of God and slowly apply it to other things and other people, and then see godliness here and godliness there? It's interesting because Rav Kook writes in Orot HaTorah, I believe it is. It's a book called Musar Avicha. And there he writes about ahava, because the first thing a person should have is ahava for everything. At first, a person, which of course is quite difficult, but a person should have this overwhelming, total love for everything, and then slowly focus it on more and more things. Because if I love all of creation, then I'll certainly love all of humanity. If I love all of humanity, then I'll certainly love Jews. And if I love all Jews, then I'll certainly love, and go on, and finally I'll get to love of God. But he starts off that your default attitude should be total love towards all things. I guess if one is Rav Kook, then that is perhaps somewhat easier. But because just as easily you could have said it the other way around. But you start with love of God, and then you try to find godliness in all other places that you look. So therefore, I found it surprising that he did say it the other way, but maybe there's a great deal of sense in that. But if you just say, listen, there's godliness all over the place, I need to love all things and all creation.
That's if you do it the other way, if you put God first, that's what I'm saying, there won't be room.
Right. So as I said, that's what he says. He's so in love with everything. Yeah.
I have problem understanding the correlation and not saying it.
Okay. It's okay.
If it's an it against what you wish to do, do you want what the loving has to do?
Let's move on and see. Let's try. 12 minutes left. It is. Okay, let's move on a little bit. In source 15, and this is right before the Akedah, the Yita Eshel B'Beer Sheva, V'kresham b'shem Hashem kel olam. That he plants. The problem with this verse is the first half and the second half. Avraham makes Eshel, whatever that means, and there are different opinions in Beersheba. And then Vayikra Sham, and there he calls out the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And there he calls out in God's name, the master of the universe. So what does Eshel have to do with calling out? So Rashi writes Eshel Rav Vishmol. There's two different opinions. Chadamar Pardes, one says that he planted an orchard. So that he can have fruit to give people by the meal. V'chadamar pundak, he made a motel. V'achsanya, u'bokominekarot, and there he has all kinds of things. U'matzina l'shanatiyah, and so on. Next paragraph, v'yikrasham. Al yidei oto eshel, nikrashimo shakarish baruch hu, eloka l'kol ha'olam, l'achasha ochlin v'shotim, that Abraham opens up this by Beersheba. So recognize, please, that Beersheba is in the south. People will be coming in from the desert. People have been traveling for a while, they'll be exhausted, they'll be hungry, they'll be thirsty. Right there, Avram is poised to open up his tent to take them in. When they come in, he gives them all kinds of things. These people all say thank you to Avraham, and what does it say? Amr Lahem, Berchu l'misha achaltem mishalo, sivrim atem shemishali achaltem, misha misha amar v'haya olam achaltem. That you think that this came from me, this came from God. Which means over here, we have a very clear sense of Avraham's chesed. This, by the way, is probably the biggest indication of Avraham's chesed. This is Avraham's tent. And over here, we find that that chesed is directly related to his love of God. They're not separate. They're not two different things. That Avraham is able to use his man-to-man relationship together with his man-to-God relationship, and his love of God and his love of man come together. So this would be a wonderful way of understanding this Avat Hashem, and this would go in perfectly with what we saw in the Rambam before, in terms of reaching out to others and calling others. This would be part of Abraham's Ahava. Okay. Okay, nonetheless, we do have a problem with the Akedah. Correct? I'm just saying, and it's not just the Akedah, we have a problem with the Akedah. How does this fit in? Now, I can say that the Akedah contradicts, and that's what Naomi said in the beginning, that the Akedah contradicts Avraham's chesed, because Avraham already reached that point, and therefore what Avraham needs is to reinvent himself and serve God in other ways as well. Okay? That's a perfectly legitimate approach. A number of Kabbalistic authors nonetheless see it a little bit different, but perhaps we'll start with the Gemara in source 21, Gemara in Sota. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Ne'amar by Eov, it says Yirei Elokim, the Ne'amar by Avram, it says Yirei Elokim, Yirei Elokim by Avram. My Yirei Elokim of Avram, Me Ahava. What is Avraham's Yirei Elokim? Avram fears God, Me Ahava, from Ahava. So this Gemara is confusing. Right? Because this Gemara is saying, Eov, it says, was Yirei Elokim. How would you translate Yirei Elokim? Was a God-fearer, God-fearing. By Avram, it says that he's God-fearing. So the Gemara then asks, so the Gemara is bothered, just like we are, about all the things that we've been talking about till now. The Gemara is bothered by this. It says, what does it mean that Avraham is God-fearing? It says, he's Yirei Elokim mitoch Ahava. So what does that mean? So to this point that we're stuck. Correct? Or anybody understands that clearly? Yeah.
Be afraid of somebody because he's going to punish you, or you could be afraid that somebody's going to be disappointed in you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a difference. So there's a frightening when you love somebody. All of our relationship.
Right. So very good. Good, absolutely. So.
Well, I mean, people are not that black and white. There's so much to get.
Right. So therefore, what this source, this Gemara is doing for us, it's helping us redefine what that word, or this term, Yirei Elokim means. What does it mean, Yirei? And in your words, is it awe or is it fear? Let's look, again, a couple of different sources here. Let's look at source 19. One second, is this 19? Yeah. Source 19 is a big source. It's one of these books you've heard of, but you've never looked in it, never saw it quoted any place. It's called the Sefer Raziel HaMalach. This is what's known as fire insurance. Yeah. They claim if you have a Sefer Raziel HaMalach in your house, it will never burn down. I know somebody who actually lent his copy to someone else, and his house burned down. Yeah. He now has two copies. Tida, Shekatav Avram Zer Avram Ovi. Ukishamar Lakosh Baruch Oleb Bincha, Ktiva Tayyidata, Kirei Lakimata. Perish, Ohavi Yodeya Zarti, Zerati. You love me and you know what I want. Although this is not all that far from the Rambam that we saw. Is that loving God is to do the emet because it's emet. Let's continue where it's underlined. Zesh, what does this all this mean? Zesh yirei shemayim kol hayom alav, shemachashev ahavat yirat shemayim b'chol eikel libo. Again, just do them all together. Ahavat yirat shemayim. Zeh yirat hashem tehora, ota yira shehi ahava hi tehora b'chushuva yoter amin b'yira mamash ki yitiron ha'or min ha'choshech. And then he quotes the Maran in Sota that we saw before. So he says, no, real yirat shemayim comes out of Ahavat Hashem. And he's obviously not talking about what we would call fear of God. He's talking about something else. We can look at the source 20, Bacharei, Shemei Atomei Lakor Tano, Haitasha Lo Lirik Sano, Rak Mikshad Lablila Avor Ahazarat Alkishlach Ba'al Ta'as. He says, look, did Avram want to do the Akedah? Certainly not. He only wanted to do it because... Avram did not want to stop doing the Akedah. When God says stop, he wanted to do it. He says that, right? Am I wrong, or that's what he says? Can you read deeper? Ba'acharei shemni'ato mila'akod et bino, hayta shelo lirtsono. Well, that's not what he's saying here is that when he stops doing it, that was against his will. Rach mitzad v'li avor al zarat al tishlach v'al ta'as. Because the angel said, don't do anything. But who began to have yirah? That's yirah, because he's saying, don't do this. But chenamar yirah elokim, below a head elokim. So he's saying, what does it mean that I see that you're Ray Elohim? What is your Ray Elohim? You're God fearing. What is God fearing? You don't go against God's will. So how is God, how do you see that God is, how do you see that Avram is God fearing according to the Ketav HaKabbalah when he doesn't do the Akedah? Is this a little strange?
No, it's you're talking about your eye, you're not talking about
that. Right. Because that's what he's doing. Good luck. Because what he's doing is he's claiming that the Akedah is something which the real Ahava, and he separates the two, the Ahava and the Yirah separate. But by the way, there's also a source here, which we won't get to. The Noam Elimelech from source 25, he says, God says that Avram loves him, it's only the Malach that says Yirah, because the Malach doesn't really know, because the Malach is on a lower level. But Avram is on a higher level than the Malach, and he explains it. We're not going to read that. Look at verse 22. 22. This is the Rakhanasi. He writes, Ki ata yadati ki elokim ata, yesh l'shol, ki yadam ki Avram haya hohev, shenem ma'zev ha'mo'avi, ve'echlo shibchu b'malato g'dola, shem tzad ha'chesed, rak shibchu b'midat ha'yira, ki yadam ki koma shasa Avram avinu olav ha'shalom asa mi'ahava. He says, what does it mean? Now I know that you're God-fearing. It should have said, now I see that you love God. So he writes as follows. By the way, we saw someone else say that before. There's two types of yirah. There is an external or an internal type of yirah. And I'm not going to translate this now as fear. Because he's telling us there's two different types of yirah. And I'm not even going to say awe or fear. Or fear. He says there are two types of yirah, internal or external. Hayirah hachik shana hi lemata min ahava. External yirah is inferior to love. The hapiniti lemala min ahava. But the internal fear, of yirah, is superior to ahava. Ketzad yirah hachik shana. He showed kol hayirah la'avor al mitzvot hamelech. Penya anesh v'yitpas b'mamar hamelech. That's anybody who's afraid of punishment. All fear of punishment, he's saying, is an inferior type of fear, inferior type of yirah. Yirah pinit, but what's internal yirah? B'yot ha'adam masig ma'alat ta'bore yit'ale. The rov ha'tan yudim ba'osha ba'kavod yishab ha'ichal midi adam midiya ma'alazeh yifacheid. A person who has such love of God and an understanding of God and has this internal fear that maybe I'm unworthy of being in front of God. Okay. One type was punishment, fear of punishment. One type was a fear of inadequacy or a fear of unworthiness. And he says those are two completely different types of feelings. You could, again, I'm afraid of the English words and the connotations that they have to them. It's not even awe. Is that really awe? Do you call that awe? Yes? Okay, then it's awe. They said it's awe. Sefer Avodat HaKodesh, source 23, Matsina Shnekor Avram Avino, L'Vashem Yireh, L'Kim Achar HaKidah, Asher HaNisyan Asiri, L'Fisha Hayal Mukhtar B'Yireh HaPimit HaZot, Asher Hila Mala Min Ahava. ומצד אהבה שאוהב נקרא אברהם או אבי, ומצד יראה פנימית הזאת נקרא יראי אלוקים. Yes, to the same idea, which means, let me just see the very end, look at the words underlined in the second paragraph. ולפי שזה כי נתייחסה עבודת העקידה לאברהם ולא ליצחק, כי לא חלה לו חובת המצטער היא מן הדין, כמו שכתבנו, מה שעשה כן היה מחשקו וזנורתו לאהוב ולהתקרב אל המלך בכל היכולת, כי יראתו הייתה מכוונת להשיג אהבתו של מקום ולהמשיך עליו רצונו. ויראה זו סיבתה ובאה ממני להיכנס אוהב אמיתי אל מעלת יראה פנימית, והיא יראתו של אבינו עליו השלום. And he's, and then again he quotes that Gemara, which means what these various sources are trying to do is not take the same approach that we said in the very beginning, that this is trying to take Avraham to go against, to break his nature. His nature is one of Ahava, and this is trying to break his natural inclination. Saying, no, it's different. That this type of Ahava is the Ahava, this type of Yirah, is a type of Yirah which is a manifestation of Ahava, which means it's the type of fear that you don't want to disappoint the person that you love. Not the type of fear that you're afraid what they're going to do to you. It's that you love them so much, you don't want to cause any disappointment. You don't want to cause any frustration. You don't want to cause even a moment of separation because there's so much love. Which means love to this extent of worship gets to this point of what he calls the yirah pinit. And therefore, according to this approach, even the akedah is not a contradiction to this idea of Avram's Ahava. That Avram's Ahava is what? Let's go back to the Rambam. What's the Ahava? To do the truth because it's truth. What's the definition of truth? Whatever God says. God says, this is what you must do, this is what he must do. Which means, I know that we would have imagined, that Avram's idea of Ahava would have been, oh, to serve all of his guests and then to talk about God and something which is, you know, to have get, you know, it's something which is a more loving action. But if the definition of love gets to the point that Avram's love of God is to the point that you do the truth because it's truth, and the definition of truth because God says to do something, then even the Akedah becomes a manifestation of truth. But as all of you said before, a manifestation of love, but as all of you said before, doing the truth because it's truth is not a very simple thing. And love isn't always easy. But then the level that Avraham achieves by virtue of the Akedah is that he gets to this whole other level of this, what they're calling the Yirah Pnimit, of that he's on such a high level of love of God, of never wanting to disappoint and never wanting to go against. Now, whether deep inside Avraham wanted to do or not wanted to do, let's leave that for the psychoanalysts to try to figure out what Avraham's general motivation over here. I think all of us would agree that it's very difficult to imagine that deep down inside Avraham really wanted to kill his son. And this is, again, the Freudians can say whatever they want, but I think it's very difficult to imagine this. The only way we can see that Avram even goes about this is, it sounds like what the test is, Avram is full of love. He's full of love towards his son. He's full of love towards God. And God puts him in a difficult situation. What do you love more? Yes. And he puts him in a difficult situation. What do you mean? Do you really love God? But ultimately, God is saying, I don't want to put you in that situation. Yeah.
And it wasn't a cultural thing at the time. People believed that their children.
Yeah. That's a very frightening thought. You want to hear an even more frightening thought? Maybe Avraham had other kids before he married Sarah and he killed them.
It's possible. I mean, I don't know.
Right? But she wanted to kill him. No, I understand what I'm saying. I know I'm saying before Lech Lecha. Before Lech Lecha. When Avraham, before he...
Maybe, it's a terrible thing that
the Kabbalah, it's just a very, it's a very strange thing to say.
Yeah, it is. Unless, like I said, it's a cultural thing, and that was how, I don't know what people did here, then.
Look at, we'll end with this, then. Look at source 27. One second. Before I do 27, 26, Rav Tzaddik says in 26, he says, "Ach, kfar ma'ani shalafim idat avata avam avinu ala b'shalam, hayalu la'avor pi Hashem v'lo la'akod Yitzchak, kidei she'parsem elukutar barach, k'mo ayde Yitzchak. V'kmo she'masar nafsho b'kivshon ha'esh, af she'en neged havim, v'lo hayar rishayim." He says that if Avram really loved Yitzchak, what he really should have done here, and even if he loved God, what he should have done is ignore God when he said to him to do the Akedah. Why? Because I want to spread godliness on this world, and this is a ridiculous thing to do. He says that he really should have ignored God. He goes, but he couldn't ignore God because he knew that's what God wanted, and that's what part of the conflict is. But look at 27. What is Ahava? Ahava et Hashem, Ahava gdula v'aza, Ahava she'in maketz v'sof, k'mo she'ida lava katuv, Avam ohavi, v'rov avatol Hashem, he pila atzmo l'kivshon ha'esh. One, because of his love of God, he did allow himself to be thrown into the furnace. V'ratza l'shchotet b'no yichidi, asher ahavo, ki ahav et Hashem, ahava nifla yoter, v'yufo v'nafsho v'nefesh b'no. And his love for God was so profound that he even loved God more than himself, more than his son, and more than everything. V'rov chasdo v'avat, and he loved God with all of his possessions, and he's willing to use all of his money to invite all of those guests in, to teach them Baruch Hashem, as they taught, and the pasuk "Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, Ahavo al Habriyot ke'Avraham Avicha." Bring people close to God as Avram did. V'gir alafim v'rvot gerim b'nei daro, ki rabtabo ma'od yigat ha-chesed ha-gadol, v'chafat v'vat malcho, v'vat b'rato, v'ta'av v'chamad l'horot lehem d'archei Hashem v'avodato, v'yakum m'gayer et anashim, v'hi m'gayer et anashim k'mar chazal, v'te nefesh asher asu b'charan. What he does over here is he takes everything. He makes short of all of the things that we have seen over here, and he sees them all as being part of the Ahava, but when you get to that point of the Akedah, he even sees the Akedah as being Ahava, but it's just that his Ahavat Hashem is higher than his Ahavat of himself or Ahava of his son. But as I said, the difficulty with this approach is the word Yirah there at the end, which is why we go back to what we saw before from the Rakhanati and the Rakhid Elokut, where they're claiming that no, that there is this Yirah Pnimit, which is even on a higher level Ahava, because it's a manifestation of it. It's this inner fear of not wanting to disappoint the person or the thing that you love, and that was the level of love that Avram achieved, and therefore even the Akedah would ultimately be included within Avraham's, the general idea of Abba. We should stop because we'll get mad at you, but you have 20 minutes. Yeah.